Okay, welcome to college baseball.
Great start.
I was going to say no
seed oils.
No seed oils for Nick. And because you counted and then you stopped. So I was like, okay, I have a chance to say, Nick, I'm not eating seed oils. And so here's a free advertisement
for Nick. Oh, I'm proud of you. Good job. No seed oils.
Even though I don't know if this soda is much better, but you know.
No, that's not. That just cancels everything.
Okay. Welcome, college baseball fans, to another episode of the ACC Central. I am joined by, as you can see and hear, Micah and Nick. Micah, how are you doing? We'll start with you.
I'm tired. How are you?
I'm doing great. Living the dream. Yeah. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I got my first day off in a very, very, very long time. So I was able to do the stats.
I thought that might have happened because I was like, I saw the stats at a reasonable hour this morning. And I was like, is Nick off today? Because I know that's your thing. So I was
off today. So I was able to actually do normal human things on a day off, like go get a car wash, maybe change my bed sheets, maybe clean my bathroom, all that stuff. So, but I'm good. I had a good weekend. It was awesome baseball. So, yeah.
So Nick just admitted to never washing his sheets or cleaning his bathroom. So that's kind of disgusting.
Well, I was going to go the other way. I was about to be impressed that he was productive on his day off.
Yeah, I was productive. I didn't just sit around and do stuff. I actually contributed to the podcast, put stuff out on Twitter, did some errands, paid my rent to my brother today, all that.
Yeah, Monty, what he's not telling you is we've actually been making so much money off this podcast that Nick doesn't work for his family anymore. He's just a stay-at-home college baseball dad.
Well, I am repping both.
That would be the dream. That's goals right there.
I am repping both the AAA paraphernalia of the two Florida MLB teams. I got the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp represented on a shirt I had to have, Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. And then I got the Durham Bulls new hat I got this weekend. It is not the Broncos. It is the Bulls. But Micah has on is that a golf hat? What do you got going? Oh, no, is that another Notre Dame Irish hat? Wow, he's got another Notre Dame Fighting Irish hat. Okay.
This is the one I bought, Monty, before I was kindly gifted one, so.
Yeah. I just wanted to. I was about to be surprised because I couldn't tell that was an Irish script there from
here. Let me make it more clear who I'm repping today. Here, is that better for you?
There you go. All right. Well, let's get started. We're gonna jump right into it. We're not gonna spend too much on these two series. Bryant gave Pittsburgh some trouble. They took one game, but Pittsburgh was ultimately able to win the series. They have a huge matchup in the middle of the week against. Against West Virginia, backyard brawl at PNC Park. NC State took care of business, absolutely dominated Ball State, capped off by a wonderful was it a victory against cancer? Is that the title of the game? I think it was.
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah, they were wearing those yellow jerseys.
I thought those yellow jerseys looked great. What did you think, Nick?
Yeah, I honestly liked that. Like, they were different, like a little unique. Something different than the Wolfpack red. I thought like it was a good little change to like, we do the ALS jerseys when we play ECU. I actually like ECU's jerseys a little bit better for that game. Like the script and everything's very nice, but that was pretty cool to see that. So I like those jerseys.
And shout out to 2019 World Series champion Trey Turner, former NC State shortstop who I believe he and his family funded the whole thing to try and, create generate some money for cancer research. So wanted to shout out former national, current Philadelphia Philly. But yeah, not going to spend too much time on these series, understandably so. They were pretty routine. Pittsburgh dropped a game, but they won the series. NC State dominated. Good, nice little break for them.
One note, bad injury for State. Oh,
that is true. Josh Hoge fractured his leg on Saturday. and he's out for the season. Luckily, it wasn't as bad as some people feared, but he is, I mean, it's still a fracture, which is a pretty significant leg injury. So big, big loss for them. He'd been batting in the three spot for them recently, I believe.
Yeah, he was taking basically batting for Noah Soles, who we still have no idea what is wrong with him. Like, the NC State injury pile right now is just a full-on mystery. We don't know what's going on with Logan. We don't know what's going on with Noah. Yeah, but that was a significant blow, considering he was already already a backup outfielder. So they got to kind of dig deep and figure it out, or Noah needs to get healthy again soon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because, I mean, Jake Bechtel, I think, has gotten some DH spots, but he's an outfielder, right? You've got to – I mean – there's going to be some people get, I mean, Chase Nixon will be out there every time, I guess, now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be, the thing with college sports with injuries, I mean, this one we actually got news on very, very quickly, because I think of the severity of it. I think people were significantly worried. So I think they wanted to make sure everyone knew he was fine for the most part. I mean, obviously major, major injury, but I think some people were worried it was even worse than that, because I think he's out for 4 months, but I think they thought it was like ACL something, or who knows. With some of the other injuries like Logan Whitaker and Noah Soles, they don't have to tell us anything. And I believe the question was asked and it was not answered. So so we have no updates on any of the other injuries for NC State, but Josh Hogue out for the year. So they're going to have to test that outfield depth some more. Moving along to the Thursday to Saturday series, Virginia went to Boston College. Micah was losing his mind for a game and a half of this series. Did he leave? Where'd he go? There he is. I made my screen smaller, so I don't see you on the bottom row. I see you just up there. But Micah, how are you feeling after this series is over, now that, you know, obviously the ALS game on Thursday, I don't think Boston College was ever going to win that game or ever going to lose that game the way they came out, and just, it was about as perfect a game as BC could play. But how are you feeling after the series concluded?
Joe Savino should be ACC Pitcher of the Year. I walk away with it fine. I mean, I wish. It's always concerning offensively when you don't have as much success as I thought they should. But Boston College played like the series, like, legitimately was a playoff series. So I really don't, you know, at the end of the day, take away too much negative from Virginia. I mean, obviously the Fenway thing was difficult, but Monty, as you know, I let the dust settle a little bit. I kind of remember what we talked about, you know, on Tuesday when you are asking, you know, Coach O'Connor and Henry Ford and Bobby Whalen those questions about, you know, playing at Fenway, you know, it was a bigger storyline. And even though obviously Boston College, right, not every single player on that roster played there last year,
right,
they have the advantage of knowing how that ballpark plays. They know, like, I'm sure they're not as oohing and awing about being there as Virginia was. And Virginia got what, 20 minutes from when they got there to pretty much go straight into warmups to play. I don't know if it's really that much, but, like, obviously they didn't get to hit there. They didn't get to,
right. They got to use the facilities. Yeah. They got to use the facilities in Brighton, but they did not get to use Fenway ahead of time.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I mean, obviously it was frustrating that Virginia couldn't drive in some runs, but in that situation, again, I mean, Boston College, like, it'd almost be kind of sad if Boston College lost their ALS game. Like, the beauty that's behind it, like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm all for it. I liked the gamesmanship move by Todd Interdonato to put John West in the bullpen in the Fenway game. Yeah. Because then I remember I was texting you, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I was like, what? Why would they burn him? Like, I was sitting there, I was like, they really want this game, but that seems a bit ridiculous. Yeah,
I'm not going to name his name because I don't know. I know sometimes the programs like to keep things kind of anonymous, but one of the BC guys actually DM'd me because I was talking to him about coming up there next week. They were going to use John West, Monty, if they had to close out the ninth inning, like if it was like a 3-2 ball game kind of thing.
That's kind of fantastic, though. They're so committed to winning that particular game.
Correct. And again, behind it too, right? John West, the story with his family and ALS, like, you know, there was kind of like this, should we even start him kind of thing. They wanted to keep him on his pattern of pitching on Fridays.
And that was his preference as well, right?
Correct. Yeah. And plus, like, I like the idea too of, you know, why am I drawing a blank? Kyle Russo gets absolutely shellacked by Notre Dame on Sunday. I mean, I watched him just get hit around, and then he comes back and he pitches like the kind of guy that we know he is capable of being. So overall,
and John West does maintain, like, he doesn't know necessarily how he's going to perform. Mm-hmm. He can maintain that perfect memory of last year where he went, So that also is nice. But UVA's offense, not impressive, but I thought Owen Cody did a really good job after the first inning. I'd like to see him get stretched out a little bit more, walk a little bit less people. Joe Savino is still being stretched out, but he was fantastic in the bullpen behind him. The critical game play in the series was made by Aiden Teal, not on the mound, not in the batter's box, but in left field. In game two, it was 4-3, and Boston College had the bases loaded. And I think some people may have thought it was an interesting move for Teal to come in as a defensive replacement for Didiwick. Teal makes a diving catch to save the game, and as you see, it led to Virginia evening the series and then ultimately winning it on Saturday. So shout out to Aiden Teal. But Bobby Whalen got a lot of talk about what he and his best friend did for raise money for ALS in high school, and then he had a pretty good series. He went 3-7 with 3 RBI. Eric Becker only played in one game, but he had a triple, a pretty critical triple there on Friday that helped give Virginia that even series win. But also, I do want to shout out Parker Landwehr. What a series. 6-9, home run, 3 RBIs. That home run came in the Fenway game. But also, I'm glad to see Barry Walsh back out there for a full weekend. If they can get him going, that would be awesome. I know they've only got a couple weeks left, but it'd be great to see Barry Walsh out there.
This might be the first weekend, Monty, that we've seen Harrison Didiwick and Cam Leary not on the top performers list for their teams at the same time, like in the same weekend at least.
That's kind of
crazy to like you would say, like, who are some key guys going into the weekend? And it'd be Harrison Didiwick, and it'd be Cam Leary, and neither of them made the top performers list, which is just –
And Vince Cimini also had the home run at Fenway, so he's on there. But it was a fun series, I think, and a little bit more contested than maybe we would have thought. And I think, Mike, I don't know if you said it on your personal or if you said it on the Just Means Less page, but if you had told me Virginia was only going to score 10 runs, I would have told you they lost this series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we are. So great. Virginia stays on track with a series win there. They had to do exam week. They've got a couple of midweeks. I will be there tomorrow for their road trip to the Diamonds. Yep.
I'm going to say, you're going to another midweek in Charlottesville? Did I make you a changed man?
No. I believe the midweek in Charlottesville, I believe they do have one on Wednesday.
Navy.
In Charlottesville.
Yeah, it's Navy.
Navy. Okay. I thought you were saying maybe for a second. Oh, no. Maybe they do. No. Navy. No, okay. Maybe. Gotcha. So, Nick, what are your thoughts on this Virginia team?
Yeah, they won differently this year. I think this is the first time where we saw the pitching come into effect instead of the bats, which is something that you'd like to see, you know, break the rhythm a little bit, find a different way to win. And they went deep into their starters, really, for especially in game two, but they did really well pitching. So I was happy to see that for Virginia. And does it surprise me that they only won 2 out of 3? No. I mean, I think Boston College was going to get one, especially with John West on the mound for one of these games. So I really liked what I saw from Virginia. I think seeing a different way on how to win is going to, especially this late into the season, could carry you for a little bit. So I was going to bring that up too. You're muted, Monty.
Thank you. Cause the dogs were barking right as you started talking. Do you guys think that the starting pitching for UVA is figured out with Blanco, Cody, and Savino? I do. I think this is their starting rotation. You've got Blanco, who's been steady and consistent. I know he's given up 10 earned runs in his last two starts, but the start against Georgia Tech was a bit of an anomaly in that inning where he gave up all those runs. And then, you know, he pitched well enough to win on Thursday, given our offense. They just didn't get the job done. But Cody and Savino, I mean, Cody was the Friday night guy for Penn last year. But Cody and Savino are in the mold of what we had with Parker and Edgington last year. And when I say we, I mean Virginia, not that I'm part of the team. But it's what you had in those two. No,
you're one of us, Monty. One of us.
I think it's settled if you can get those two guys with Cody and Savino stretched out. I'd like to see them get stretched out a little bit further. The thing I want to see is the bullpen settle after exam week, because that's really going to tell us what Virginia is those last two home series heading into the ACC tournament. Michael, what do you think?
No, I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, I really do like the setup on this. I mean, obviously, we still have some questions on Cody and Blanco, you know, necessarily finding the zone and not necessarily struggling. But again, like at the end of the day, this was a huge step forward for this pitching staff. And obviously, too, it'll help if the defense, you know, I think this was one of the better defensive weekends we've seen from Virginia, which was nice to see as well. Obviously, you know, it's pretty neat when Aiden Teal, the technical closer, somewhat closer, right, is the one that saves the day in a different way this time. But one thing I wanted to quickly bring up too, Monty, not we needed to go into detail about it, but Boston College has been outscored 35-5 in their last four weekend finale games. And I think that's really, really concerning, because down the stretch here, Boston College is probably going to be in a lot of rubber matches, especially considering what they have and what they're playing for. So they really need to figure out this game three offensive woes, because being outscored 35-5 in four weekends is not ideal on that game three.
All right, one last question before we move on. Mike, I'm going to let you answer this one, and only you, because of your bracketology expertise. Do you think two series wins against NC State and Virginia Tech gets UVA a top eight seed?
Not if Duke, Florida State, and Clemson keep winning.
So it depends on some other.
I don't think the ACC can have four top eight teams, and I think that Duke, Clemson, and Florida State are all still above them in the pecking order, especially when you look at. Or even RPI for that matter. I think Duke's the only one that's kind of close to the Virginia number. It's definitely plausible, but I don't feel great about it. But then again, like if you take the series with NC State, you take the series with Virginia Tech. I mean, if you sweep, maybe if you go 5-1 in those six, maybe, especially if you, I think it's really going to come down to also, Monty, just how Charlotte goes. I mean, yeah. Right now, Monty, obviously that's if the season ended today. Virginia would have great RPI opportunities in their pool play with Duke and Wake Forest being paired up with them. So
right.
Definitely not out of the realm of possibility, but just purely off those six games, I would still say probably not unless they swept both of them.
I have a question for you, Micah. If Virginia, because I kind of agree, like I don't see four teams in the ACC being a super regional host, but if Virginia were to do that, beat NC State, beat Virginia Tech, who's the team that you think would be out? I mean, I know it depends on performance, but as like kind of what you feel at the moment, because I think I kind of have an answer.
I mean, the answer would have been Florida State until this weekend.
That's why, exactly.
All the pitching woes, but taking it to Duke like the way they did, Monty, I can't wait to hear what you saw with your own two eyes in person this weekend in Durham. But I know this is slanderous, Nick, and I don't mean to bash NC State, but I don't see the value in NC State at home as big as some people are making NC State out to be. Your NC State fans are ripping the bracketology because I don't have them as a regional host and I send them to Greenville. And it's just like, I must be missing something with NC State, because I know they've had some big series wins, but they have some really bad losses too.
I think State fans are just hung up on how good the series wins have been with Duke and Clemson and Carolina.
The recency bias.
I get it. They beat, you know, three top 10 teams, but I can't remember the last time they won a midweek. Like
I'm not feeling good about your games. About seeing your Wolfpack in person tomorrow, Nick. Not looking. Oh, cool. I'm a little worried about them.
Me too. I mean, like if they can avenge their loss against UNCW tomorrow, that'd be huge for them. But their record is their overall record is 26-15. That's not going to be a super. That's not going to be a regional host. I don't care if they've been three top 10 teams. It's just
If they go to Charlottesville and win that series, then we can start having the conversation, right? But yeah, I'm still not seeing it right now.
I think you could bring it up right now, but I think it's a definitive no that they should host, especially with the top teams that are still there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving along to our next series. We'll probably be talking more about NCAA tournament stuff as we go along because it's coming. But we have Miami and Georgia Tech. Everyone in the pick'em, just like the game before this, picked Georgia Tech. Let me rephrase. Everyone but Cole picked Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech gave us a little bit of a scare on Friday with Miami winning that baseball game 6-4. But they come back and absolutely take it to the Hurricanes and solidify themselves as an NCAA tournament team. I tweeted about it on before the game on Sunday, where I said Cam Jones, who had a complete game, he did give up four earned runs, but he went the distance. Also had two doubles in that game, but he and Aiden Finitieri have this is the most comfortable I felt about a Georgia Tech starting pitching staff in about 5 years. Maybe longer, with Finitieri and Jones, and then Tate McKee goes out and gives up one hit and strikes out nine out of nowhere in five innings. So yeah, we're gonna start with Nick on this one. What are your thoughts on Georgia Tech and what are your thoughts on Miami? Because I know you ranked Miami in the preseason. In case you forgot,
very disappointed. Well, let me give Georgia Tech their flowers. Right now, if the season ended, I think they are. I think they're in the NCAA tournament. I think they solidified that. They've been winning series that they're supposed to. They have quality series wins against NC State and Virginia Tech. They've been playing really good ball. They haven't lost a game that they shouldn't have lost in quite a long time.
Four straight ACC series wins, by the way.
Yeah, I mean their pitching is really starting to lock down. Their hitting, of course, we all know has been really, really good. Like, I think ever since like Micah and I did like a solo podcast, like him and I, and he got back from Georgia Tech beating Presbyterian, it's been like smooth sailing.
Are you trying to give Micah the credit for turning Georgia Tech around?
I mean,
do you know how much that is? I mean, I'm surprised that you're doing it, not Micah himself.
I will say I got an invite from someone pretty interesting the other day on my personal Twitter, basically saying, if we make the NCAA tournament, you're staying with me, you're coming, there's no questions about it. So I'm not saying that I'm the reason, because I am definitely not the reason. I mean, just look at this lineup. But I will say I played like a 1% part.
Like, because Micah, who before Presbyterian, who did they lose to in that series in that weekend series?
I can't remember. They were swept though. Whoever
Boston they were swept by Boston College. Boston correct? College,
that's what it was. Yeah, at home.
Like ever since then, they have been just in cruise control, winning the series that they're supposed to. And mind you, that NC State sweep was before the Boston College sweep, so yep. They've always had it in them. So I think Georgia Tech is one of the teams in the ACC right now.
Another thing I really want to quickly point out, look at that top performers list and notice the two names that are not in there this week, Ellis and Burris.
Yeah.
Look at all the production they had, five names, and neither Burris or Ellis is there. They're getting production. John Giesler coming back is also huge. He had a monster game in that Sunday. It's great to see him back. The goose is loose, as we like to say. I just wanted to throw that in there. I know, Nick, you weren't done because you were still giving your flowers to Georgia Tech before you moved on to Miami.
Yeah, and I just to talk about the pitching a little bit more. I mean, I know they lost game one of this series, but Aiden going seven innings against Gage, who has been looking for a win for the longest time, Gage Zeal, going the distance, not getting the win in these tremendous performances. The fact that Aiden went toe-to-toe with him basically was impressive, even though they came out with the loss there. But yeah, Miami, a team that I was high on going into the season. I think I had them at number 25. You asked me last week, Monty, if I had to predict two teams being out right now, who would those two teams be? And I said Miami is definitely going to be one of them, just the way everything's trending. Notre Dame is, just beat Wake. I know we'll talk about them in a little bit, but the way Miami is trending is very disappointing, and I think they're going to end up missing Charlotte this year.
And remember, it doesn't matter about the divisions when it comes to that. So Miami and Pitt could both miss while everyone right. from the Atlantic makes it. And that's what happened last year. I think Florida State and Louisville both missed from the Atlantic while the entire Coastal went to the ACC tournament. So correct. Miami very much in danger with the way Notre Dame's playing and especially playing at home. That's huge. Micah, who do you want to start with? You want to talk Georgia Tech or you want to talk Miami first?
Let's continue the negative notes on Miami. We're two weeks removed from us talking about how this might be one of the best, if not the best, weekend rotations in the conference, especially with all the banged up injuries, especially on the Coastal side, right? We had a lot of question marks on even Duke, really, for that matter, and Carolina was kind of subbing in freshmen, it felt like, every other weekend. And we have not seen, minus Gage Zeal, really any consistency besides that. And it seems like whenever Gage Zeal pitches, they want to struggle with run support. Obviously, he's pitching on, like, Monty, this might be crazy. I'm not going to pretend like I am a smarter baseball mind than any Division I baseball coach. But I have started to notice a trend in the mid-majors that I really, really like. And I think Miami might want to take a look at it. Why not throw Gage Zeal on a Saturday or Sunday? Have him be the best guy on the mound every single time he goes out there. I'm not saying that he's not better than Aiden Finitieri or anything like that. I think I would probably take Gage Zeal still. I really do like him that much. But, like, you have to think about it. Where Gage Zeal versus Cam Jones, I know he pitched really, really well, but you kind of feel pretty comfortable about that, right? Or Gage Zeal versus –
Keep in mind, I don't list how many total unearned runs they gave up, but I believe Gage Zeal gave up 4 runs, and that's not his fault. I only left the the defense again behind him time and time again has let him down. So it may not matter.
The defense and the failure to score. I mean, I saw him pitch against Clemson. He pitches a complete game and needs a walk-off home run that's barely fair to win the game. So, it's got to be frustrating for him, I'm sure. He pitched well against in that Duke game too as well and just came up short. Like, I'm not saying they should, but it's probably too late for that now. But I would love to see maybe they throw him on a Saturday or Sunday against someone else's 2 or 3 guy and guarantee yourself a win and then see what happens down the stretch. Because they didn't score much at all this weekend in general, and obviously their most runs were scored in game one, but – I think honestly the biggest concern with Miami is their inability to hit, though. They've really struggled to hit. For a team that I know they obviously lost a decent amount from last year, but we thought they'd still be able to hit. I mean, it's really been the Daniel Cuvée and Dorian Gonzalez lineup, and that's pretty much it from a consistent standpoint. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, I'm kind of on the same standpoint as Nick about Miami probably missing. I think Wednesday I'm going to do a fun exercise where I'm going to bracketology the pools. I'm going to predict how I think it will play out. And I have a feeling that Miami will be missing, though. Mark like magic. I mean, not that Miami and Pitt's a play-in game, because right now that might be a just 13 versus 14 matchup at the end of the season, but that could obviously be pretty big. So then the Georgia Tech, I'll just go quickly. I mean, do you guys feel the buzz, or is it just me? I mean, this is this is amazing. I am loving every second of this. This team is, I mean, Monty, considering Friday was a really tough day for me because I was still a little concerned about Virginia, and Georgia Tech losing to Miami at home on Friday night had me really sick to my stomach because I was like, please tell me that Georgia Tech didn't just go beat Virginia because Virginia just didn't want to play well. No, Georgia Tech's good at baseball. So, Monty, I know you said that last week and that I'm supposed to enjoy. Guys, Monty was like, maybe you should just turn on the Georgia Tech game because, the Virginia game, clearly, I was joking that I'm turning the Virginia game off. I said, well, why don't you turn the Georgia Tech game on? It's a pretty good game. So shout out to you, Monty. You predicted this a week ago. So well done. But on a serious note, I mean, this was obviously a very promising weekend for Georgia Tech. They got what, Clemson this weekend? So we'll really learn what Georgia Tech is when they head to Clemson this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I like I said, I think Georgia Tech is a tournament caliber team. Of course, that can change on a dime, but I don't think it will. I think they are trending upwards, especially, I mean, again, the pitching staff. I mean, we've seen them with much better offenses in the past. You know, thinking back to 2022, I mean, what could they have done if they had pitching, you know, like Finitari and Jones as their 1-2? They could have got, they probably host. And instead of having to go to Vanderbilt is where I believe they went in 2022. And then last year, obviously didn't have a pitching. So I think it's a really, really good thing that they've got Aiden Finitari and Cam Jones, who, you know, they've been outstanding. And but, you know, it's just settled it a bit and given their offense a chance to score enough runs to win.
Absolutely.
Moving along to a series win on Saturday by UNC, taking care of business. That was their 11th straight home game, I believe, 11th straight home win to start the ACC campaign this year. That home winning streak was snapped on Sunday with a Virginia Tech win. The alarming thing I see on this is Griffin Stieg looks like he is injured. Hopefully he comes back, but he only threw three pitches for the Hokies on Sunday. That's a big loss. Wyatt Parliament did not pitch, and Brett Renfro went on Saturday. But we got a shout-out ACC Pitcher of the Week, the freshman Jason DeCaro. He is 18. He only turned 18, I think, 2 weeks ago. Went seven innings for the first time in his career. No earned runs, 8 Ks, 105 pitches. He's been an absolute stud for them. And then Shea Sprague did Shea Sprague things. The Hokies, they are in trouble. Micah, we'll start with you. What does Virginia Tech need to do?
They need to learn how to score again. Their offense has been, I mean, we have we really seen the hammering Hokies much? I know they had obviously three or four on the weekend. So maybe that's the problem, is they're only hitting home runs. But, you know, for a team that we kind of thought was an explosive offense, right? I mean, we talked about them having the best infield in the ACC, and offensively, they're definitely not.
Well, and keep in mind that they are missing Garrett Michel big time at this point. His bat is greatly missed.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I mean, again, at the end of the day too, like, I feel like they should be doing a little bit more. But, you know, again, we also, I wouldn't say we predicted this, right? But, you know, we did a pretty good job of, at least I think I did, and I think we all can say we did, right? Pump the brakes on that Virginia Tech start. We were all kind of like, yeah, let's give them credit, because you winning is still pretty impressive in this conference no matter what. But, you know, I thought people got really ahead of themselves by putting them as a top 15 team when the meat of the schedule was just now coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I think it really hurt them that it's really nice because you get that easy start and you can build the confidence, but then you've just got Gauntlet. Yeah. And that can be tough because they haven't been able to win one of these series. I think the only one they got swept was the Wake Forest one that started this gauntlet. But then since then, they're able to win one, but they can't figure out a way to win a series, which is brutal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, they just, and like, the pitching has been very wishy-washy. I mean, even in game three, I mean, they did a good job of getting it done at the end of the day, but it was a little shaky down the stretch there late, where I thought maybe there's a chance UNC ends up sweeping this one. But again, they've been playing arguably the best. They've played the toughest schedule in the ACC in the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, obviously it's not ideal to get swept in most of these, but honestly, I was going to be super negative, Monty, until they won yesterday.
Yeah, understandable. If they get swept, it's
and to beat a UNC team that hasn't lost at home since last April, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So at the end of the day, like, I mean, I don't think any of us went into this weekend. Did anyone pick Virginia Tech? I don't think anyone did, right, Monty?
Oh, DJ did.
Oh, DJ. I'm trying to get that cute upset.
Oh, and Nick did. Yeah, Nick.
Nick. That's right. I forgot you. I forgot you always, you know, like to cheer for my rivals against your rivals. I know what type of friend you are. So.
DJ also, when he did his pick'em, he immediately sent a text after picking Virginia Tech and said, I feel terrible about this.
Yeah.
So, but Nick, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are your boy is dumb and thought Virginia Tech won this series and put them in the top 25. So, guys, ignore my top 25. Virginia Tech is not number 19. Carolina, though, I'll keep them at 11 because I admitted it to you, Monty, that I thought I was overrating Carolina last week. I had them at 6, but I think 11 is a good spot for them.
Which is funny. I think the rest of our poll is kind of underrating UNC. Which is interesting.
For like the last month, I have been overrating UNC. Like for a 2-week stretch, I had them in the top 5. But I don't know why I thought, like dating back to like literally Saturday, I thought they took the first 2 games or something. I don't remember what I thought. But anyway, now this is all news to me. So I have to redo my thoughts on this. Virginia Tech is in trouble. I was going to say Carolina, we thought you turned a corner, but clearly you're still the same team that we still think you are. But this Virginia Tech team, I think not having Wyatt is a problem. If Griffin is hurt, that's a bigger problem. They were lucky to win that game. I don't have much on Carolina. They just seem like the same team, the same consistent good ball club that will make a run, hopefully. But Virginia Tech, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I really love UNC's bullpen, and I think that's what's really been the difference. I mean, obviously, they've got an explosive offense, they've got decent starting pitching, but the fact they can go deep with Poston, Mathis, Percival, Beauvair, and Pence is just fantastic.
Yeah. So if you're Virginia Tech, this is not good. I mean, we, like Micah said, we alluded to it after they won their first 4 ACC series that the bulk of the schedules were going to come up and we're going to figure it out. And they have disappointed every single series. Like, they have not won. They get one win, but they don't win the series. So that is very disappointing. I don't have them missing on the NCAA tournament right now. If it were to end today, I think they're still in, but they are in a downward spiral very, very fast. So apologies to, let's see, who did I drop? I'll say South Carolina fans. Apologies, or maybe to the Oregon fans that I dropped and put Virginia Tech in from you. So sorry about that.
I will say there's good news. Virginia Tech, before Virginia, they do host Miami. So they don't go to Mark Light, but they do get a Miami team at home, and that is a must win for Virginia Tech. Is that safe to say? Micah, is Micah in front of the computer? Oh, okay, his head was down. Micah, is that safe to say that's a must win, the series against Miami at home?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to kill your RPI if you don't.
So they got to take care of business. And
are they out if they lose to Miami? Like, would you like leave them out if the season ended after losing to Miami?
Probably.
Yeah.
Lucky for them, they'll have a chance if they do lose to Miami.
Oh, if they lose to Miami, Monty, I'm picking them to go to Charlottesville and win the series. Like, I'm just going to tell you that.
That would be on brand. But keep in mind, Virginia Tech does own UVA the last couple of seasons. 4-2. I mean, 2022, obviously, Virginia Tech was awesome, and that's why they owned Virginia. But last year, Virginia was an Omaha team and still couldn't get it done against a rebuilding Hokie team. So they're in trouble. They've got to figure out. They got a chance to regroup against Ohio this weekend from exam week, and then they got to beat Miami.
If they can go 5-5 in ACC series, they will make it. 4-6 is a stretch. I can only remember like last year's NC State team doing that.
They're only playing 2 series, so they're only playing 6 games.
How many have they played so far?
They host Ohio this weekend,
Nick. So
So they've got to You'd think 3-3 if it's against Virginia. Well, 3-3 should keep them out of 3 seed, you would think.
The only thing that's saving Virginia Tech is the fact that they'll probably be at 30 wins, regardless if they like their last 7 games are Miami 3 at home, JMU at home in a midweek, and then Virginia on the road for 3. Like if you take 3 of those 7, you're probably in okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's a series loss to both Miami and Virginia and James Madison, because that'll put them, assuming that they take care of business against Ohio, who's not a very good MAC team, that's probably 36 wins, which is probably an NCAA tournament team with an ACC team.
Yeah, but yeah. They'll be feeling a lot better if they can beat Miami and get a win in Charlotte, maybe. All right. And UNC's already booked their trip to Charlotte. They're in a safe spot. They're fighting for regional, super regional conversations. So moving along to a series that I got to witness firsthand, Florida State and Duke. Florida State goes in and the pitching absolutely in the first 2 games just shut down the Duke offense. Unfortunately, they could not keep that going in the 3rd game, but at that point, they've already clinched the series on the road, which is massive. What's funny is I thought Santucci had one of his best, probably his best ACC start, which is interesting because he gave up 4 earned runs. They were all in the first inning, but it was the only outing he's had this year where not only did he not give up more than 1 walk, he gave up 0 walks. And then it was funny because on the flip side, Jamie Arnold, I talked to him after the game. He didn't think he thought he was bad. I think those were his words. He's like, I thought I was pretty bad tonight. And he goes 5 innings, 9 strikeouts, 2 earned runs and gets the W. So baseball's funny that way, right? Looks like Santucci has his best start. Arnold has his what he thinks was a bad outing.
Monty, I do have a question for you because I did not get to watch a ton of this game. How does Santucci only have 3 hits but 4 earned runs with no walks? Did he hit a bunch of people? Did he only hit one guy?
He hit Tibbs.
And so then they made him pay off that one? Every run a home run? Or
No. So I'm trying to remember. Max Williams, I think, singled. Cam Smith singled. Max Williams was out. Cam Smith singled. Tibbs got hit by a pitch. Hmm. And then, I'll have to look at my score, but it was something like that.
This is a weird stat line. Like you have 0 walks and only 3 hits, but you give it
all happened in the first inning. Farrer hit a 3-run home run. And then I think somebody drove in. Oh no, I know what it was. Yeah. Yeah. I was right. It was Cam Smith single, Tibbs hit by pitch, Dinges single, which made it 1-0. And then Farrer 3-run blast.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what it was. I forgot that Farrer was batting behind Dinges. That's why I was getting confused there because I knew Dinges had an RBI. But I was like, how do you get an RBI if he's hitting behind Farrer who hit the home run? So, yeah, no, Santucci after that, he retired. He didn't give up another hit or a walk or a hit by pitch. I think there were 2 errors that isn't his fault. But he was very, very good after that first 4 batters. Carson Dorsey, by the way, that guy is good.
he's good at throwing a baseball.
Yes. And keep in mind, he would not be in the rotation right now if it weren't for injuries to Leiter and Whitaker, who are due back hopefully soon.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Monty, this would be my only comment on this weekend series. I know, at least from Florida State standpoint, what do you do when those guys come back? I mean, I feel like you've got to probably put one back in, obviously, but does Dorsey stay in over Whitaker?
I would think so. But I think instead of sending one of them to the midweek when you're getting close to postseason, I think you figure out who might be the best coming out of the bullpen, and then manage it that way because you've got a bullpen ace at that point. So if you for some reason think Leiter is going to be most effective out of the bullpen, which I would think he's not going to be, you want him starting on the mound, but
yeah.
But yeah, it could be Dorsey or Whitaker going to the bullpen. I don't imagine they, you know, cause midweeks will be kind of to an end after, you know, next week, I think.
Yeah.
But Kyle Johnson also, I thought pitched really well, but you know, he ran into trouble late. He had a great series, but, by the way, Duke had a chance to tie or win both these games. In the ninth inning, in game one, Ben Miller had a ball that was going down the line. It was destined for the left field corner that would have tied the game. And Cam Smith made a diving play to rob Ben Miller of a hit. It was an incredible play by Cam Smith to save that game. And then game two, they actually had the bases loaded, and Wallace Clark hit the ball hard, but it went right at second base. And that a base hit would have won that game. So it's a narrow, disappointing loss for Duke, but, you know, credit to Florida State for their pitching on Friday and Saturday to get the job done. And then Duke salvaging the series on Sunday. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Man, I am scared of this Florida State rotation, especially when they get those guys back. I mean, it kind of reminds me of last year's Wake team when Sean Sullivan was out for a little bit and they brought in Seth Keener. And it's like, Okay, now we have a good problem. Like, who is going to be our starter come the regionals and super regionals? I think they just kind of mix and matched and did whatever. They just kind of rotated Seth and Sean out of the bullpen or a starter week by week, but it's a good problem to have. I mean, can we say that Florida State now has claimed the best rotation in the ACC?
How
about overall pitching, like the guys they're getting back, the bullpen?
Yeah, if they're getting the guys back,
they got names, like they got dudes. Yeah.
And Brennan Oxford is an absolute stud. He was only able to pitch in that Friday game. Basically, Jamie Arnold grinded out five innings, and then Oxford went 3 1/3, I think, or 3 2/3 or something like that of shutout baseball. And then Joe Charles has been looking pretty good. Connor Holtz has looked good. So you're getting some dudes out there that are settling in there. So they're definitely in the conversation.
I was just going to say, this is going to carry them into the regionals, into the supers. Like, this is a great, great problem to have. Sometimes you don't know what you got until, like, bad things happen. And when those two guys went down, you realize that you have some other dudes that can throw the ball. And then once you get those guys back, it's like, wow, what's our strategy? How can we do this? And can anyone touch us right now with our pitching staff? Like, this is a great, great problem to have if you're Florida State at the right time too, when you get closer to the ACC tournament and regionals. So I like what I saw from Florida State going on the road to beat Duke after losing to Wake, which I think they felt like they should have won that series as well. This was a great bounce back. Their bats continue to roll. For Duke, I'm not worried at all. I mean, this was a tight series. They took game three and won, you know, tremendously from there. But if you're Duke, it's a tough series. It was going to be tough. Your pitching's still great. Your bats are still great. I think just some unfortunate luck with the great fielding from Florida State in the first two games.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, they did everything they could to win both those first two games, or at least tie the first one. They had the bases loaded in the second game, but unfortunately couldn't get the job done. I didn't have any concerns really with Duke either. I mean, obviously I would have been a little bit concerned if they'd been swept, but you know, it's tough to lose at home. By the way, Florida State travels, man. Props to them. The other thing that I want to point out for Duke, AJ Grazia broke the freshman RBI record for Duke this weekend on Sunday. But if you look at their top performers, three of those five names are freshmen. So even though they have a pretty old infield, with Ben Miller and Logan Bravo and Wallace Clark and Zach Morris, they do have a lot of youth that are coming up big, and that's something to be really excited about. I know the focus is on now and getting to Omaha, but you know, I just wanted to throw that out there. But Micah, what are your thoughts on this Duke team?
I mean, I think they're fine, right? I mean, there's nothing to really be that concerned about. You know, in our bracketology, Jake and I agreed we just drop them one spot. We just kind of Florida State fill their spot. I still think they're the best team in the Coastal. Hot take. I think they're going to beat Carolina to end the season. But the end of the day, I mean, there is still some serious question marks about the pitching staff right now. I don't really like Kyle Johnson being your Saturday guy for a team that like was trying to go to Omaha. I think there's still a lot of he's just young, right? Like there's a lot of, you know, maturity, growth, I guess, that just needs to come from him. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, this was a very good Florida State team. And you see what Duke's capable of, because you could tell that they were like, yeah, we are not getting swept at home. And they took everything personally on Sunday and made sure Florida State never even had a chance. Like they basically told Florida State, hey, you can get on the bus a little bit early today and fly back to Tallahassee now. But obviously the nice thing too is Duke's get some time to rest. I mean, they're going to be – it's exam week for Duke, obviously, kind of like it is for Virginia. So they're playing a doubleheader on Sunday against Longwood, and that's it this week. So
yep,
very light schedule to get rested, and kind of a little push down the stretch at ECU, at Georgia Tech, and Charleston, who's an at-large team right now in the NCAA tournament, according to Jake and I, and the North Carolina to end it. So it'll
be fun. Yeah, and real quick, just a shout-out, we'll have a special ACC show on Wednesday with Duke's Duke player Chad Knight. He is finishing up his exams here today and tomorrow. He's a baseball sicko. I actually have some homework to do before that show. He has written a paper, economics paper, the Sharp ratio and hitter evaluation. Basically it's an economics concept that he's applied to baseball. We're going to talk about some of that. He's a baseball sicko, just like Micah and I and Nick, and you know, so I think it's gonna be fun to talk to him and talk some Duke baseball, but also talk some stats, because if you go to his Twitter profile, he's just got a ton of stats. So we'll talk about that show a little bit later, but I just wanted to shout that out there while we talked about Duke. But
hey Monty, you can tell him that I used his fun little tweet stat as our trivia question at one of our games this weekend about Cameron Cisneros.
Oh, love to see it. All right.
And then Cam struck out twice before homering, so he kind of remade that gap a little bit.
Well, I had made the comment on Saturday to Chad after the game. I had said, James Tibbs isn't on that list anymore, but that was before he hit a home run. I think he's even now. But Chad made the comment, only two players last year finished the season with more home runs than strikeouts. So
yeah.
So we will see that list whittle on down. Moving along to a crazy series, a dramatic series, if you will. The Clemson Tigers went to Louisville, and Louisville gave them everything they could handle and more. And it got a little scrappy. It got a little chirpy. Dylan Hoy got hit on Saturday in the first inning, and I guess he was glaring at Ethan Darden as he went to first base. He later hit a home run and decided to chirp at the pitcher. Darden was out of the game by that point. It fired up Louisville, which was great because Louisville came back to win that game in game two. But then it also fired up Clemson for Sunday's finale. And you can see the scoreline right there, 17-7. Do I want to go with Micah first? Because I know Micah is going to have a lot to say on this.
Just give the floor to Micah. I want to hear all.
All right, Micah, let's have your thoughts here.
I hate hypocritical fan bases, Monty, and Clemson fans made me want to hate them for 48 hours this weekend. I'm going to try not to be super negative, because at the end of the day, I did say on my little morning, you know, show, I guess you could call it, right?
The length is that it's more Mornings with Micah has turned into like a 15-minute show.
Yeah. I mean, it was only 7 minutes today, Monty. So okay, shout out good, to me. Good. I mentioned I kind of liked how Clemson handled it yesterday. Like I tweeted on Saturday night from the fifth quarter ACC page, which, by the way, Nick, I'm sorry for not attaching my name to it. I don't like the let's beam them in the ribs, let's beam them in the head, let's do everything under the sun, right? If you talk shit, you talk shit. Like it's sports. How many of us talk crap when we play checkers or Battleship or whatever with our kids, our friends, or whatever? Like, you know,
or dogs.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, you know, Cole said in our group chat, you should have heard what he said. Again, I'm getting sources from Louisville, so this could be completely distorted. But based off what I was told, I don't know how anything justifies getting beamed in the ribs. Oh, he looked and stared at a home run. So what? Guess what? He fired up his team to come back and win. I'd say it was worth it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but I liked how Clemson handled it. Like, there's nothing wrong. I mean, yeah, it's the old-fashioned baseball rule.
They did throw behind him, though, didn't
you
they?
I don't have a problem with that, though. If you're going to throw behind him, you're kind of sending the, hey, we didn't appreciate it, but we're not going to hurt you. Like, again, do I think it's petty? Sure, but I don't have a problem with that. And then guess what? They stood on business. They said, all right, you want to talk? We're going to play. And they did exactly that. So I was very impressed with Clemson, obviously, yesterday. And, I mean, throughout the weekend, I mean, Louisville, like, Monty, I was about to record my, Friday version of the reason why I never actually released one on Saturday morning, Monty, was because I recorded one on Friday night that talked about Louisville as my team of the night. Like, they were literally my team of the day. And then I was like, well, I got to wait till it's over. And, like, I was like, oh, wait. And then I fell asleep. And So at the end of the day, like, it was a very good series for Clemson. I think it shows you that this team can overcome adversity when it's thrown their way. I mean, obviously,
and they've done it time and time again this year.
Yeah, and they get thrown a curveball with what's going to be their pitching rotation for the weekend. They have a feisty Louisville team at home. I mean, they look down and out on Friday. This is the second time in a couple of weeks we've seen Louisville look like they're the better team and should win a series, and they don't get it done. This Louisville team can hit. Obviously, I was very impressed with Zion Rose and Isaac Humphrey again. But, at the end of the day, Clemson, and it was kind of fun to have this drama, Monty. Like, again, I'm not a fan of either fan, but like, or like a diehard fan of either team, but I really enjoyed, like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was way more dialed into this Clemson-Louisville game yesterday, even when it was kind of a blowout, than I would have been if there was no extra drama behind it. Because, again, like, we have ejections because, we have a guy who celebrates a home run too long, which, again, I think that's soft too. Like, I'll defend you on that one, Clemson fans. I will say you've been warned, though. So at the end of the day, like, you can't say, oh, what do you mean you did nothing wrong? I mean, I agree, but when you're warned, they're more likely to throw you out just because you took a breath the wrong way. But, yeah, I mean, it was a fun weekend. And, I mean, Louisville fell out of the NCAA tournament in our bracketology because of it, because I think they need to get that signature series win at home against a top 20 team, and they've kind of just been close but no cigar.
Yeah, I'll say this. I said it in the group chat. I hate people wanting to weaponize the baseball. Words are words. I don't think anyone deserves to be hit with a baseball. For that, especially when you could end someone's career in theory that way. If you hit him in the wrong place, if you hit him in the head, you could cause some major issues. But I did say that I do love the drama when it happens, because I have no control over whether it gets weaponized or not, but I will enjoy the drama that comes with it. And you don't see a lot of it in college baseball, which is good. But at the same time, like you said, yeah, I was extra dialed in because of it. But Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't think my opinion on Louisville has changed at all from last week into this week. I mean, they played number four. I almost picked Louisville to win this series. I really thought
Micah did.
Yeah, Micah did.
And I'd do it again.
I know you would. I know you would. I thought I was in trouble in game one when Louisville was out to a pretty
good That's right.
Game. Yeah. I think I sent that in our DMs.
Yep. Yeah. Because Cole was like, Cole came.
Yeah, this is your fault, Nick. You ruined it. You had to be the negative. You did my thing.
I give Monty, this guy Monty, credit for stealing Georgia my Tech. Thing. Now he comes over. No, Nick, you're stealing my thing. I mean,
children.
No, Nick, you're stealing my. Monty knows that it's my thing to be so negative to reverse what I don't want to have happen. How many times, Monty, have I DM'd you? It's over for Virginia, and then they end up winning.
Probably you were right on times. Friday.
Yeah. I mean, that's my thing, Nick. Stop stealing my thing.
There was a delayed response to his negativity on Friday. on Thursday, excuse me.
My opinion on Louisville hasn't changed. Do I think they should be considered out? Yeah. I mean, you lost the series, of course, but I still think nothing has changed in terms of the quality of players that they have and how hot they could get. I think there's a pretty good chance they can still play their way into this thing. There's a lot of meat left on this bone for them. I think if anyone can take the opportunity to be back in the conversation, I think it is Louisville. I put this tweet out, 4 hours ago. So if you haven't seen this poll on our Just Means Less ACC page, I tweeted out, if the season ended right now, do the top five teams in each division make the regionals? Surprisingly, through almost 100 votes, 74% of fans think yes, all five top five teams from each division will be in. So if no one can see the standings right now, it's in the Atlantic, you got Clemson, Wake, Florida State, NC State, and Louisville. In the Coastal, you got UNC, Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. And I asked, if you say no, who do you think is going to be left out? The people that have commented have said Louisville should be left out if it comes down to that. So kind of interesting what people think. But I think right now, I think you leave Louisville out. But again, my opinion of them has not changed at all. I think they can salvage the rest of the season and climb their way back in.
Yeah, shout out Cam Cannarella, who had ACC Player of the Week honors. 7 of 14, 2 doubles, home run, 5 RBI. He actually had more stats than that for his week. Obviously, this is just the series this week. But good to see him putting in a huge performance for the Tigers. He's one of the best players to watch, most exciting players to watch. So good to see him. And Aiden Kanak, it sounds like he was just a little sore, and because he's a freshman and has logged a ton of innings, they didn't want to have him pitch on Sunday, give him a little rest as they get ready for the postseason, because he's been such a big arm. So hopefully he's back next week or fairly soon. Moving along to the final series of the weekend, it was a stunner in South Bend. We all thought that Wake Forest would have some trouble. We didn't think they would lose the series, though. We thought they'd lose one game. Instead, Notre Dame wins the last two games of the series. They gave them all they had on Friday, and outstanding. Notre Dame is a bit of a problem at home. They are now, I think, they've won all their games in the conference at home. So big win for them. I looking at these starting pitching lines, it just stuns me that this is the same Notre Dame team we've been talking about all season, because it's the second week in a row that they've put in really, really good starting pitching performances. Estevan Moreno, he continues to be that guy. He was an all-star for a reason. Also, I particularly liked the tweet. Simon Baumgart hit a home run on Sunday that tied the game 7-7. And Jake put out a tweet from the main account that said, "Simon says tie game." And that was just a fantastic little quip there. He said he'd been sitting on it for weeks. Finally got an opportunity to use it. So I did want to shout that out. As much as I like to give Jake crap, I will give him I'll throw one to him every once in a while. But he's also not going to hear this, so it's safe for his ego. Micah, your thoughts on this Notre Dame team?
They're going to Omaha.
For the Big Ten tournament. What?
Yeah, they're actually they've switched over to, they realized they could win the Big Ten. So they are now a Big Ten member for baseball as well as hockey. So welcome Notre Dame to the Big Ten.
You're going to Omaha.
You guys kind of stole my question to the panel, but I will let you continue.
Notre Dame to the Mid-American Conference. Which actually they were 0-1 against the MAC this past week because they lost to Central Michigan in the midweek. But I think what was most amazing about this was I honestly thought they were better on Friday too.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Bedford outpitched Chase Burns. Overall, Notre Dame, I mean, Wake, like, I think what was most impressive was it didn't feel like Wake played bad. Like, it didn't feel like we got a sleep Wake Forest team that wasn't really dialed in or really wasn't focused. Like, it felt like Notre Dame just said, like, I think it's really cool, Monty. I'm sure you probably had this moment. This is my first, I think, maybe first, second time ever. I've, you know, interviewed a coach, and then within a week of that interview or so, you hear or you see what he said come to fruition. You know, they're like, we're going to play this like the playoffs. We are going to be all in. We are focused. We are, like, you know, talking about just the different approaches they're going to have to this. And we saw that again this weekend from Notre Dame, which was really strange. When they lost the midweek, I actually watched a decent amount of that game. You could tell that they were just kind of zombied for that one, which was really interesting because, again, they can't really afford to lose to an RPI 259 team. But at the end of the day, they ended up coming back. And, I mean, I'll say this out loud. I think Wake Forest is lucky they didn't get swept. I think Notre Dame played that well this weekend. All across the board, obviously, Estevan Moreno was great. You know, how do you not have TJ Williams on the top performer?
He only had the two hits, I believe.
Let me see. They were both big home runs. So
yeah.
I'm surprised.
Tell you the stat. TJ Williams went 2 for 13 with 2 home runs, 2 RBIs. obviously, the home run was massive on Sunday. It won the game. Absolutely fantastic. I was very happy for Notre Dame. I honestly thought when Wake Forest had taken the lead ahead of Simon Baumgart's tying home run, I thought that was it. Mm-hmm. Wake's got it. Nick Kurtz did everything he could in that third game to get Wake Forest the win, and they even intentionally walked him even when he was like the go-ahead run. But the guys around Nick Kurtz and Seaver King, other than the two names that you see on here, Antony Morales and Jake Reinisch, Adam Tellier had a pretty nightmare game on Sunday because he also had an error. Jack Winnay, I think, went 1 for 9 in this series. He's been 1 for 12, excuse me, with a double. And the bottom of the lineup didn't do too much. I mean, Javar Williams went 0 for 12. He only got one walk. He normally walks more than that. Merrick Houston went 1 for 12. So not great from the supporting cast there offensively. But you got to be really pleased with the way this Notre Dame pitching staff has kind of weathered some really bad storms. Matt Bedford with by far his best start of the year, longest outing for sure. Jack Riedel has really settled into that role as a freshman. And Rory Fox pitched pretty well. But now we're going to talk about Wake Forest, and we're going to go to our Wake Forest guy, Nick. Nick, tell me what's going on with Wake Forest.
It seems like it's one step forward, two steps back for their Saturday and Sunday starters, Josh and Michael. Josh seemed like he was on a roll, going deeper and deeper into his outings, and Saturday only 1 2/3. That's not going to get it done because we know Notre Dame. We always knew that Notre Dame's lineup is sneaky, really good. They can hit the ball, especially at home. Massey, I mean, lingering injury somewhere, only going 2 innings. After last week, he had his longest outing in conference play. Kind of disappointing. The supporting cast around Nick and Seaver did not do much at all. It's a shame because, like, Nick's I think it was his 2 RBI double.
Yeah, I think. Yep.
In game 3, in that same at bat, like the first pitch was maybe a foot foul. Like,
and it would have been a grand slam. Yep.
Would have been a grand slam. And I think we're talking like Wake Forest winning this baseball game on Sunday.
He smoked that ball. That ball
was unbelievably, like, it was to the moon. Off the bat, I was like, that thing is going all the way to Michigan. And it was just foul. Like, you saw the guys leaning over the railing in the dugout watching it. And Nick was like, oh, is it fair? Starting his trot, stops. Wait, that's going foul. But he was productive in that. He got 2 runs in.
And took the lead.
But it's crazy how, like, maybe a foot or two is the difference in this ball game. It's disappointing for Wake. They dropped a lot for me in my top 25, like 8 spots, I think. But I think they're right now, they are out of the regional host conversation after this loss. And not to mention, I know we like to say midweeks don't matter, but it mattered this week, because if you don't win your series, you're going 1-3 on the week. And that's not good, especially to a mediocre Elon team,
right,
that they lost to on Tuesday. And the bats again in that game were nowhere to be found. They were shut out by Elon. So the bats are starting to become a little bit of a concern. But I want to give Notre Dame their flowers. Guys, Notre Dame has a winning record. Can you believe that? Overall, they have a winning record. That's crazy. Like, who would have thought that? They're like Micah said, and I'm glad I watched that video from last week after they swept Boston College of their coach. Micah did a great job catching him and asking the question. And, you know, their playoff time is now, and they have taken advantage of it. I mean, sweeping Boston College, taking 2 or 3 of Wake, they are a much different team at home. And who knows? There's a little bit of meat left on this bone. They have opportunity in front of them. They can make a little run. You never know. I mean, they're one game out from Charlotte, so we'll see what happens. But their playoff time is now. And so far in the last 2 weeks, they've been succeeding. But I wanted to get to my question. Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
Monty. Well, I was going to say, and with their RPI, they're not. It's not crazy for them to make a run at the NCAA tournament if they keep finding ways to win.
No, that's what I was staring at their RPI last night. I was like,
yeah.
You ready for your fun fact of the day, though, gentlemen?
What's that?
You ready for your fun fact of the day? No ACC team with less than 12 wins in conference play have ever made the NCAA tournament, and they are 7-17. So they're going to have to, they have 6 conference games left.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so,
I don't think
they're less than 11. 12 was the highest, I should say. So they need to go 4-2.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to, but the fact that it's even a possibility because of how their RPI and everything is kind of nuts, especially when we left them for dead at 2-16 a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's what happens when you play your first 5 weekends on the road. RPI, right. Cheating.
Yeah. That's part of my question to the panel. A, Notre Dame in the Big Ten, are they like the best team in the Big Ten? Are they making the NCAA tournament? And two, or B, I should say, because they start their season off on the road for like the first month and change. I mean, is that's got to play a role into the disadvantage they have. And like, I think it's starting to become clear that Notre Dame is great at home. The weather's starting to get nicer. It is such a disadvantage, even though you're playing in a warmer weather city somewhere, you're not at home. You're traveling all the time. And that's what was so impressive for Boston College last year. They had to start their season last year, like every year, on the road for the first month and a half. And they were doing well, treading water, and were almost a regional host. They were one spot away from a regional host. So is that just like playing a problem into Notre Dame right now? I mean, I don't know. I think it has to play as somewhat of a problem.
I think they'd be up there as one of the top teams in the Big Ten, but then that's also because you have teams in the Big Ten underperforming, because Indiana and Iowa should be significantly better than they are, and they haven't been. Purdue, I think, currently leads that conference somehow, and they lost to a very, very good ETSU team.
There you go. I was saying, Monty, you better be careful what you're about to say.
I said a very, very good ETSU team, my guy. I could go put on the hat right now.
Purdue has only lost one weekend series in the last 5 weekends, and that one is to the ETSU Buccaneers.
So I think Notre Dame would be up there as one of the top teams in the Big Ten. But, Micah, what are your thoughts on Nick's question?
So, answer Nick's question, yes, they'd probably be in the Big – like, they would be a lock, right, to go to Omaha for the Big Ten tournament. I think that's
right. They're a lock to go to Omaha.
But, like, I mean, Monty, we only had one Big Ten team in our bracketology. That's it. So, like, I don't know if Notre Dame – I think Notre Dame's almost in more trouble if they're in the Big Ten. because they're not getting the benefit of the doubt. Like
you Purdue, have to win the tournament.
Yeah, Purdue is the best team in the Big Ten, and they're literally only in if they win the Big Ten tournament at right. this point.
And as we know, anything can happen in those right. tournaments. Like, I mean, if you look at the A-10 tournament last year, George Mason was the sixth seed. They end up winning that tournament, and they make the NCAA tournament that way. So you never know.
And to answer your question, second question, Nick, I think it's actually beneficial they play on the road, because Notre Dame is Louisville if they play the same schedule they're playing right now at home. They are a potential NCAA tournament team if they can win some series, but they are an RPI of 90. I mean, like, they're getting the benefit of the doubt because they went to Radford. They went to Tennessee Tech. They went to FIU. You beat those teams at home, you get no value.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Nick talked about it a little bit, but here are the current standings. You have the new top 25 rankings as well here. Number 4, Clemson, and number 13, North Carolina. They've already officially punched their tickets to Charlotte. Florida State's in second. They are chasing. They are now just 2 games behind Clemson. They remain 2 games behind Clemson as both teams won their series. NC State's there in third. Wake Forest at 500 at 12-12. Louisville is in fifth, just below 500 at 10-11. Boston College now in danger of missing the NCAA or the ACC tournament, as Notre Dame and Miami and Pittsburgh are all fighting for those last 2 spots, basically. But Notre Dame, they are 5-1 in their last 2 weekends after starting 2-16. And then UNC has a commanding lead in the Coastal Division, although Micah thinks that Duke is going to catch them. Virginia is in second. Duke
I didn't say they'd catch him. I just said I think Duke's the best team.
I stand corrected. I apologize for accusing you of that.
I don't think Duke is sweeping North Carolina. So
okay, all right. So there you have it. North Carolina probably has the Coastal locked up, barring a major collapse. It's possible. Anything's possible in this conference, right? Virginia and Duke, they're tied for second there. Virginia Tech, they got off to a 9-2 start. They are 4-9 since. Georgia Tech is back in the hunt. They've been playing really good baseball. And then, of course, Miami and Pittsburgh, as previously talked about. Now, it is exam week, so that means we've only got 4 ACC series, and then we've got 4 non-conference series going on with, of course, UNC and Virginia taking the weekend off entirely for exams. Duke is only playing on Sunday. They've got a doubleheader with Longwood. And then Virginia Tech and Wake Forest, what they're doing is they're playing a 3-game series, but I think Virginia Tech does a doubleheader Saturday, 1 game Sunday. Wake Forest is doing 1 game Saturday, doubleheader Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So similar thing, but different. They flipped it. So, and then BYU at Miami, I believe, is a Thursday to Saturday series. So those 4 teams, they'll be in non-conference, but the big boys that they'll be playing each other. Louisville at Boston College, it's a big one for both teams. Georgia Tech goes on the road to number 4 Clemson. Number 17 NC State going to Tallahassee. NC State's been really good recently. Let's see if they can continue that. And then Pittsburgh goes to Notre Dame, and it's another chance for Notre Dame to make a statement and put themselves back in play for Charlotte. Real quick, before we start doing our picks, Nick, what's the most intriguing series for you? If you had to choose one series to watch this weekend, which one is it going to be?
I'm stuck between 2, but I'm leaning towards 1. I think I'm just going to let my bias get the best of me.
NC State at Florida State?
It's NC State and Florida State. I mean, NC State has been giant killers the last few weeks when it comes to the ACC series play. They were not winning on the road, and then suddenly they beat Clemson on the road, and this is going to be another tough challenge. The other reason why this is so intriguing is because one game separates these two in the conference standings. So Florida State can be up as much as 4 games on NC State with a sweep, or NC State could be up two with a sweep. It's that close. So that is my most intriguing series. My next one was going to be Pitt at Notre Dame because I love what the Irish are doing right now. I think they're starting to salvage their season. They're one game away from Charlotte. Anything is possible. They got back over 500. It's impressive. And it, again, it's at home. So they've been great at home.
By the way, we said no team with less than 11 or less has made it, right, Micah? That's the fact?
That's what I can find. I mean, I need to check with John. I should probably actually DM John that. I have another question I need to ask John. John, for those that don't know, is the wonderful SID, I guess, would be the best title to give him at the ACC for baseball. But
yeah, so Notre Dame has Pitt at home. That's a sweepable series the way Notre Dame's been playing.
Yes.
And then they have Louisville on the road. They go 5-1. That'll put them at 12 wins.
Yep.
12-18. That could be enough to get Notre Dame into the NCAA tournament, especially if they can win a game in Charlotte.
Yeah. If they can make the Final Four in Charlotte the way we've just laid out the rest of their season, if they can do it, there's a good chance they're in.
That would be something.
If they won their pool, they're in. I'm saying that right now. If they won their pool, they're in.
Yeah.
Because that probably means they're above 500 and they're going to get ACC love.
That would be incredible to see that happen. So I might be having to tune into this Pittsburgh.
I'm kind of rooted for this now. Like I'm rooting hard for Notre Dame.
What was your number one choice?
His was NC State at Florida State.
That's what I thought he said. I just wanted to make sure I didn't zone out.
Anyway. Micah, what's yours? What's the one series you're most looking forward to?
The one at the top.
I was going to guess that.
That is the most important series this weekend. I understand Georgia Tech and Clemson have like the eyeballs, right? Or NC State, Florida State for maybe regional hosts. We are talking about an NCAA, but also ACC tournament plan. I think whoever loses this series is out of the ACC. The NCAA tournament talk. Of the NCAA tournament talk. And then honestly, like you just nailed it, right? Notre Dame has Pitt and Louisville left. If Louisville loses this series, now Louisville's going to have to play catch up to Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame's three games behind them, I think.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm doing the math right. So now they're running into that risk. Where obviously if Boston College loses this series, they only have one ACC series left because they have Maryland the week after.
Yep.
And they don't own the tiebreaker on Notre Dame. So they're kind of done, in my opinion, maybe even for the ACC at that point. Because I don't want to be super negative, but if Boston College loses this series, Monty, are any of us thinking they're going to go to Clemson to end this regular season and win that series? I sure as heck ain't. No. So this is a must-win for Boston College's postseason hopes just in the ACC tournament. So for me, I think it's got to be – like, Monty, it's such a big deal to me that I debated catching a flight out of Charlotte on Thursday morning and then flying back Friday morning for the ETSU game just to catch one of these games in person. That's how big of a – series I think this is. So
well, obviously not big enough for you to actually pull the trigger, huh?
Well, if my flight gets delayed and I miss the ETSU game, I'm the only one available to work it, so there'd be nobody to work it. So much as I want to be a sicko, I do care about my job.
That's good. I was just being funny. All right, we'll start with our picks. We'll start with that Louisville Boston College series. We'll start with you, Micah. Who's it gonna be, my guy? After all that, making him pick this is kind of mean. Micah's going Louisville. We love to see it. They haven't burned him before, have they?
Never.
Nick, where are we going?
I'm going Louisville.
Nick's going Louisville.
I'm going Boston College then if Nick's going Louisville.
Oh, my God.
Is that for real, Micah?
Yeah. I will submit a lock-in thing at some point sooner. I think part of it selfishly, Monty, I know this is not – we're not competing. We're actually supposed to make picks to make picks, but I got to catch Nick in the standings, and this is one that literally is 50-50 for me. So I kind of want to just do whatever Nick's – the opposite of what Nick's doing.
I don't. I mean, as somebody who's leading that pick'em standings, I
that was not a brag at all. That was just a simple stating of a fact, right, Monty?
I was going to say I understand the competitive nature here because if you guys were both going Louisville, why wouldn't I just go Louisville?
For real.
Yeah, you know. So I, you know, if we all lose, we all lose. But yeah, I think BC rebounds at home. That, okay. Yeah, I like it. Moving along to Georgia Tech, Clemson. We will start with Nick this time. Georgia Tech on the road at Clemson. Is Georgia Tech going to win its fifth straight series?
I want to so bad. And I almost did last week too. Has Clemson lost an ACC series? They haven't, right?
They have to North Carolina State.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At home.
I forgot about that. all right, just for that, then no, Clemson's going to win.
Mike,
I want NC State to be the only team that beat Clemson this year. So.
Oh, Micah. With
the boys.
He's riding Georgia Tech.
We're not picking against Georgia Tech the rest of the year. We ride with Georgia Tech. We are now that I know that I'm not the jinx and that I have to pick against them, I am riding them until they are literally out of wins. So give me the Jackets, baby. Plus it's Fade Nick week. That's what it is. It's Fade Nick week.
Fade Nick.
If Nick's picking Virginia Tech, give me Ohio.
you know what? I'm buzzing, man. I'm buzzing. Let's go. Did I just lose my computer screen? No, it's still there.
We're screwed now. We're so screwed. If there's multiple people that pick Georgia Tech, oh, man, this is
going to be fun. I'm going Georgia Tech.
Oh, man.
I hope you don't change your pick, Monty.
Nick is only
you don't change it because I'm nipping at your heels, buddy.
Only two games behind. NC State at Florida State. Micah, we shall start with you.
Why are you giving me all the tough ones first?
We're all – you know what, Nick? You pick first since he wants
Nick
to
Nick pick against his team. Yeah, there you go.
I picked last time. All right, fine. This one's really tough because State's pitching has gotten a lot better.
Nick, I'm just going to make it easy for you. Just stop talking. It's Florida State.
All right, yeah.
Nick almost
my right God. That's not what I was about to do, but this one's really tough. Let me talk it out with you guys. State's bullpen has looked really good. Van Dam has looked really good. Duden has looked unbelievable. The starters have been very good. High fill and got to take FSU at home here at Elm.
You're Florida overthinking
State,
it.
No, Florida it's, State lost to Wake. That's right.
Do it, Nick. Pick the pack.
I'm picking State. It, when they pick State, that's they're giant killers.
Oh, we're about to catch Nick in the standings this weekend. Oh, I can't wait.
I'm going State FSU.
Has been giant killers. I think it's going to continue to ride. Their bullpen has looked really good. I think the bat missing oh, my God. Who did they just lose? Who just got injured?
Josh Hoge.
I think Josh Hoge might be a concern, but their pitching has been improving throughout the season. So I like what's going on with NC State right now.
You're – all right. I like it. I like the pick,
NC man. State wins a series against Ball State, and now they're just magical at baseball.
They're giant killers.
They're giant killers. Ball State.
Unless they go to Atlanta.
Yeah, or Louisville.
And last I checked, Atlanta's pretty close to Tallahassee. So,
all right, last one. Micah, you still picked first last time, so we're going to – oh, nope, Micah's going. Is he going Gritsburg or is he going Notre Dame? Oh, Notre Dame.
At home? Come on. Come on.
Do they sweep?
Ooh.
There's no bonus
I'll
point
say
here.
It, yeah. I'll say it. Dude, I'm rooting so hard for Notre Dame right now. Like, I want this to happen.
Much we get attached to teams when they're doing poorly and all of a sudden.
You want to know, you want to know a really interesting fact, though, that I think might actually intrigue you? So, when you look at when you do like who clinched, right? Which, by the way, Monty, I still need to figure out why Virginia and Duke did not clinch, because the max amount of points is or wins is 14, and they have the tiebreaker on said team. But you know who technically is the reason that the tiebreakers are like why Florida State hasn't clinched yet? It's not Notre Dame. It's because Pitt technically could win 9 games in ACC play still and get to 14 wins. So Pitt's like that's the thing. Like Pitt's behind Notre Dame in the standings, but they also have 3 less games played.
Yes.
So if they take this series, then obviously like they would be on the even playing field of what Notre Dame is at currently.
Yep.
So that is what's very interesting, is it feels like there's a pretty big gap when it's really not that massive, because Pitt just played. But I mean, I hate to say it, Monty, the fact that Pitt struggled with Bryant this weekend at home with their Friday, their normal setup and staff, kind of makes me feel like this team is kind of fried. And as much as I loved my time in Gritsburg, for the sake of the ACC, I think we need to have a sacrificial lamb. I think Pitt might need to be that.
Well, in remembrance of them, I'll put fries on my sandwiches.
Yes. And I will use the word yinzers when I'm mad.
Nick, did you have any more thoughts on your picking Notre Dame to sweep?
I pick Notre Dame to sweep. I'm rooting for this. I hope they do it. They're great at home. Let's go, Irish. I love it.
If this is at Pitt, though, Nick, would you consider Pitt? Because I think I pick whoever's the home team, honestly.
Well, it makes a big difference with Notre Dame.
You know what's weird is that Pitt and Notre Dame kind of have like similar environments almost, like they're in terms of their stadium capacity. It's all really similar. I think I would still pick Notre Dame just because of how hot they are, honestly.
Yeah, they're so hot.
Like, I don't think they're getting – I think if this game is at Pitt, I don't think Pitt fans are really showing up.
They're so, so hot.
Wow. Wow, yeah. Pitt fans, hide your ears.
Or just put earmuffs on. Well, I guess that would be hiding it. Anyway, does anyone think that the non-conference series are going to go any way, like, different than
I have a hot take.
Are we picking BYU to beat Miami?
I'm not picking anybody. I think those series are going to be routine.
I have a hot take, though. If anyone wants to hear it out.
So hot.
I think Wake Forest is losing 2 games this week. I don't know if it's Western. I don't think it'll be Western as the two of them.
But
App State Tuesday, High Point Wednesday, and then this weird doubleheader Saturday with Western and then Sunday Western. Those are all pretty good teams. No, Longwood stinks, Andrew.
Yeah, I thought they did, but I was like, let me just make sure that I'm not confusing them with somebody else.
I mean, they're like middle of the pack Big South, but they're like 8 games under 500.
That's what I thought.
But like Wake's got all 5 teams are above 500. They have probably the best or second best team in the Big South in High Point on Wednesday. App State is a feisty team. It loves winning midweeks. As an ETSU person, I know firsthand what App State in the midweek is. And then factor that in again with Western Carolina, who is maybe the hottest team in the SoCon, which is kind of painful for me to say. So again, I'm not saying they're going to win, like right, that, you know, Wake's going to lose the series to Western, but I think that there's, like Nick, you mentioned it, there's a little bit of a cause for concern. They lost to Elon in the midweek last week. Wake in the midweek has not been very good all year. So there's a chance they lose one, maybe even both midweeks, and then sweep Western. So I will say I am very excited to watch Josh Hartle pitch against his Western lineup, though. Go Cats. Roll Cats.
Yeah, is anyone picking Ohio to upset Virginia Tech now?
Nah. Give me the Bobcats. Let's do it. No, I'm just kidding.
By the way, Western Carolina, Nick, I believe that's where Brandon Butterworth transferred from.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
It is.
Another homer.
I want to mention something about the SoCon, Monty, that I think
– interrupting, Nick.
Yeah, I had to. I haven't done it yet, so I had to make sure I do it. I definitely forgot, Monty, that Trey Younger was at Wofford last year, and it made me really, really upset. You know what made me – what piqued it? I got a notification that a year ago, like a couple days ago, I was at Wofford at Tennessee, And for some odd reason, when I took a picture of the scoreboard, it showed Trey Younger in his Wofford uniform. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that the Trey Younger? Like, completely spaced that he transferred from Wofford. So I'm really upset about that.
He is absolutely a Todd Internato player.
Like, oh, yeah.
I've ever seen one. Like, watching him at Georgia Tech, he is absolutely a Todd Internato player. That's what, you know, if you're a Boston College fan, Cam Jones didn't play for him, but he's also seems like a Todd Internato player, you know, guy that can hit the ball. But you want guys that can run up and down the lineup, and both those guys do that. Because that's why I often try to get Cam Jones confused, because he transferred from Georgia State.
Yes.
And I try to get him confused with Younger on where they transferred from, because sometimes like, wait, was Cam Jones at Wofford? That's pretty interesting. But yeah, that's it. That's our picks. What we got? Any final thoughts, Micah?
I'm very excited. I am very excited. I think I'm at the best midweek of the ACC this weekend, or this week, I should say, with me going to be at Nick's alma mater tomorrow with UNC Wilmington at NC State. Very excited for that one. Yep, and the parking situation there is a nightmare. So I'm very much looking forward to figuring that out on a time crunch. I hate that it's a – by the way, it's a 5 o'clock game, and this was, I think, pre-scheduled. But guess what's going on also in Raleigh that night, tomorrow night? Oh, just a Carolina Hurricanes playoff game. So I'm sure traffic's going to be wonderful.
Oh,
is that soccer?
No, it's actually this thing called badminton, I think is what that's
you. I thought you were about to say hockey, and then you're like, I'm gonna say badminton.
No, I was gonna say horseball, but I was like, that's not a real sport. So what am I doing,
Micah? There is a garage.
Yeah, on campus. True. Yeah, I know. I we have to pre-reserve it, which is annoying.
What? They let anybody in after 5?
Yeah, well, the game's at 5, Nick. So you kind of have to park before 5.
you would have been fine if you parked there at 4:30.
All you have to, you don't have to pay. You just have to literally get a reserved pass that you use a voucher code, baseball something. But anyway,
there's a garage that was like right by my door.
Very excited for that. For you know, one more midweek ACC game for me, because that will be probably the last midweek for me, because I just don't see the point in a midweek. The last weekend of the season, and
so, where a lot of them will probably be canceled.
Oh yeah, I am very much looking forward to that 20% chance of rain that just makes the 234 RPI team
dead last RPI team.
Like the NCAA work game coming up, that's probably that one's in trouble. I can already see the rain coming in Greensboro in 2 weeks, but
yeah,
that's all I've got, Monty.
Okay.
Stunned, Monty. Jeez, you know, we can.
Well, I know you've got something, because you'll interrupt Nick while he's mid-flow. So, Nick, what do you got? What are your final thoughts?
Oh, actually, I got one more thing. No.
Oh, my God. I'm literally going to throw this Baby Yoda thing at the computer.
I thought you say throw a baby. I was like, wow.
It's a pencil topper. See? Let's see. I will be at hopefully one of the Western Carolina Wake Forest games this weekend. What was that comment?
It said, as someone who always listens to these at 1.8 speed on my way to class, you all sound so drunk, but Nick sounds the most drunk.
It's that Italian in him. Fugazi.
I know. I hate the sound of my own voice. I always sound drunk. I don't know why. It's because I can't pronounce words correctly.
I don't mind my voice until I hear my little laugh, because it is the literal personification of a guffaw, and I hate it.
I catch myself mumbling words when like my thoughts are going faster than my mouth, and that's usually what happens to me. So I'm sorry if I sound drunk. Anyway, I will be at one of maybe two of the games in Winston for Western Carolina versus Wake. Other than that, those are my final thoughts. So I'll probably get some good coverage out of that.
I will be what I think is the best midweek of them all tomorrow.
You have to go to the Diamond. That is literally.
But there's actually going to be a crowd there for this one.
There was a crowd when we went.
Well, we were at a Squirrels game. This is a VCU game where they normally are spread out and it's a little sparser. But this is going to draw a very, very big UVA crowd. So there's probably going to be, it's probably gets to about 5,000 people in that park. Obviously the Squirrels game would be more. And then I'm going to be back at the Diamond all weekend. I'll be, VCU is hosting George Washington as VCU looks to catch, I believe St. Louis and Dayton for the number one spot in the Atlantic 10. So because it's exam week, I'm going to be covering some Atlantic 10 games. But tomorrow I will be there for VCU, hosting Virginia, the best midweek of the week, by far. Mike is just shaking his head.
Monty's been invited to cover some great SoCon baseball, and he chose George Washington in Richmond. That is so lazy. When I thought you were a baseball sicko.
It's almost like I live here, and it's easier to do. The other thing I'm going to mention is, again, I have a special Wednesday show. It'll probably be about 8 o'clock, I think, hosting Chad Knight. A Duke player. He got an at bat this weekend in that when they were trying to come back 7-6, lost to Florida State. He actually drew a walk. He's a pretty important glue guy on that team. He's a baseball sicko. He and I are just going to kind of talk some baseball, some stats. I'm actually going to show him our home run derby thing. See what he thinks of that. And he was actually roommates with Graham Pauly his freshman year, and Graham Pauly is now in the major leagues with the Padres. So we're going to talk some of that, get some insight into some Duke baseball. So make sure you guys are tuning into that. It'll be a really fun time. And maybe I can convince him to come on again. we'll see. Hopefully he has a fun time, because it seems like he needs an outlet to talk about his statistics, because he's got some fun stats out there. So
what is the SID's name?
Oh, Aaron Socha.
Aaron. I almost said Andrew. Yeah. Thank you. Aaron. Andrew is the Georgia Tech SID.
Yeah.
But he's awesome too. But shout out to Aaron, because that's really cool that he's letting him come on and do that. You know, I mean, obviously, like, sometimes we live in a world where SIDs are a little bit worried about letting guys come on like that, kind of free, especially like, because it's obviously, I'm assuming Aaron's not coming on too.
So, I don't think so.
You know, a lot of times they want to be around the phone call or whatever, you know, to make sure that they don't say anything dumb. So obviously that speaks to Chad, right, and his character as well. But really cool that he's letting you do that. Because Monty, when you threw that idea out to me, I'm like, yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be a hard no from them. And I'm glad it's not.
Oh, I asked Aaron before I even asked Chad.
Yeah.
So Aaron goes, yeah, he'd probably love that. I'll mention it to him so he can.
That's really cool. Shout out to Duke for that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and he's by the way, Aaron said he barely does any PR training with them because he can trust that entire team, basically, even the freshmen like AJ Grazia and stuff, because they're really, really mature and they're smart kids. So he doesn't have to worry about it as much. And he's one of the great SIDs out there. So shout out to Aaron.
Did you ever ask for me on that North Carolina series? Or did you?
I mentioned it to him, but
what did you say?
He said you should be fine. But you email him, he emails back like immediately. So.
Yeah, Monty, you're a celebrity in the ACC, so I like to use you as my, you know, to get into the party.
Yeah, well, he thought I was being a real sicko because I came back on Saturday from Richmond, and I told him I was at UNC. Agree. I know, I was at UNC. They're yelling because I left them alone, and they missed me, so. But anyway, that's going to be our show. If you guys don't have anything else, I'm going to say goodbye to the audience until Wednesday. Micah and Nick, we'll say goodbye until probably next week, or if you're watching the mornings with Micah, he'll see you over the weekend.